From the Hill Country in Texas, this is OneRadioNetwork.com.
Talk to Patrick now, 888-663-6386, or email patrick@OneRadioNetwork.com.
Good morning. Very pleasant good morning to you. This is Patrick Timpone, and you've got OneRadioNetwork.com. We also stream live every morning on NaturalNewsRadio.com. We're pleased about that. Thanks to Ranger Mike for allowing that to happen. Ranger Mike, NaturalNewsRadio.com. Great website. Check them out daily for all kinds of stories. Health freedom, a lot of health freedom issues. Next hour, we're going to be talking with a gentleman, David Crowe, who's involved with an organization up there in Canada. It's a worldwide organization bringing more awareness to a different way of looking at this thing called AIDS. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. And I'm going to introduce you to biologist Crystal Meyer. She's in Vienna. She's quite outspoken and been out there kind of doing a few videos and things on her research, which she's been looking at this about 25 years or so. Tomorrow, Andrew Goss and the Real World of Money. Then Sharon and I are going to take a couple days off Thursday and Friday. Hope that's okay. Is that okay? Good. And yeah, we're going to take a couple days off. Even though we're still in separate cities, we're going to take it off together separately and just rest up a little bit. Seemed like a good time to do it. And working on some really cool people for next week. As the lady said, you can join the show anytime, and we always appreciate your input. 888-663-6386. Email patrick@oneradionetwork.com. That 888 number will work around the world as well by dialing 001-888-663-6386. All right, let's go off to Vienna and Crystal Meyer. Miss Meyer is a biologist. She's studied chemistry. She's been in school. I look at her CV, they call it. Started school, high school and stuff, I guess, in 1968, and has been in schools ever since, and just lots of education around genetics, microbiology, chemistry, zoology. And she spent about 4 years down in Central America doing work with microbiology at the Inter-American Medical University in Belize, working with biology, genetics. This is all tied in with her work and what she's talking about now, that AIDS is not what we have been told. The National Institutes of Health, the Centers for Disease Control, the Medical Research Council, and the World Health Organization, and this is according to the British Medical Journal in 2003, British Medical Journal, these organizations are terrorizing hundreds of millions of people around the world by their reckless and absurd policy of equating sex with death, linking sex to death has put these organizations in an impossible situation. London Times in 1994, quote, the HIV/AIDS dogma is the grandest fraud that is ever perpetrated on young men and women in the Western world. AIDS is a cruel deception, the article says, that is maintained by so many people making money from it. Take away this money and the entire system of mythology will collapse. This website, and we're going to talk to the fellow who runs this next hour, just to get a broad overview of what's going on in the world. About 3,000 very learned scientists. I don't know if they agree with the exact modality that Miss Crystal Meyer is going to talk about with us this morning, but they certainly believe that what we're being told about AIDS is not true. So with that, Crystal Meyer, good morning. Well, it's actually afternoon in Vienna.
Yes, good morning to you. And it's afternoon in Vienna, so hello to all.
Yeah, yeah. What kind of weather are we having there in the summer in Vienna?
Oh, it's very sunny, shining, warm, about 28 degrees Celsius. So it's quite nice summer day.
Hmm. Well, I guess you just haven't grown tired of going to school, Crystal Meyer.
Oh, I'm not tired of going to school. I'm just now doing my research in Vienna. And yes, and that's what I do now.
And you started looking at this thing called HIV/AIDS. Tell us about that.
About 25 years ago, I started looking at this when I taught students in high school and also in college. And this I did for quite a while in Germany, where I lived and worked. And the most real, severe, and sincere research I did in Central America.
Uh-huh. And what kind of research was that? What were you looking for down there?
Yes, I heard about the different opinions and research results concerning AIDS when it began. And there were so different sayings about this. And so I did some research on the internet, and I also listened to people who talked about it. And then after a while, I found out that I have to do my own research.
Mm-hmm. And how do you go about doing that?
Yes, you see, I'm trained in virology, microbiology by the University of Marburg, where I did my paper on virus and antibody response, depending on body temperature. So it was also immunology.
Mm-hmm.
And what I read in the internet was really interesting. There were scientists, and I found out that they had problems in publishing. And I was not totally convinced if I had already the clue, but I thought this is not the end of the debate with these virus, sexual transmitted virus, and so I did a lot of research. Most I did in Belize, Central America.
Mm-hmm. Krister Meyer, we as a culture, I don't know how it is around the world, but in the United States as a culture, the conventional wisdom, and that's talked about in virtually every news story that you hear about AIDS, whether they're reporting about Africa or anywhere, is that HIV, is a virus that is contracted by sexual interaction and also needles. And this virus, they don't have a cure for it, and then the virus causes something called AIDS, acquired immune deficiency syndrome, and then people die. And, you know, that's pretty much the story here in this country.
Yes, we have to talk about the test and the virus, because otherwise we would mix up everything. So let's first talk about the HIV test.
Okay.
What is the test about? So the test is about some molecules that they detect and call antibodies against the virus. To have a correct test, you must have a reference. So you must have a virus, but the virus was never purified, as the Nobel Prize winner, Luc Montagnier, himself states. So there is no paper that shows that the virus had been really purified to the gold standard, and so the HIV test has no standard. What they measure in the HIV test is very different. If you're interested, I can tell you more.
Sure.
I don't know
so
if
the,
you want it.
The HIV test is the HIV test that people get, right?
The HIV test.
And you say this Nobel Prize winner proved that this virus, the so-called AIDS virus, has never been purified. What does that mean?
Yes, that means there are certain standards, because when you look at such a small particle, you have to really get rid of all the other molecules of the cell. Otherwise, things are contaminated, and that could not be done. So the test, just the ELISA test, which is the first test, just refers to antibodies that have never been specified. So people just can test positive even when they are totally healthy and when they perhaps have gotten a vaccine, let's say a flu shot. You can test positive. This is in the leaflet of the vaccine, which was retracted. So you can see this is a big problem with the test. So we have to talk about the test, and then we have to talk about what is it if it is not a virus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you take people take an HIV test. They do it before they get married, all kinds of time. And so you say there must be a purified version of the HIV virus as a standard. And why isn't there a purified virus as a standard? Is there no HIV virus?
You see, they should have purified. If we have so many people suffering from this virus, why couldn't they purify it? Because it's no entity that you can purify. Because what I will talk about is that it has to do with our own human genes, with our own genes. And these are just, let's say, particles that are in cell communication. So I can explain it if I have the time.
We have plenty of time. You explain any way you feel appropriate. You've been you've been a teacher for a long time. So just just realize that we don't have any idea about this. So
yes, then I would like first to say something more about the test.
Okay.
And then go to the virus, because otherwise we mix too much up. So go to the test back. There was no purification and of a virus. And so they themselves claim in the package inlet that there is no standard. You can read it, but people never get it and never read it. And if they read it, they are afraid and don't believe. So they have the second test, the Western blood test. If you take this test, which varies all over the world, you can perhaps test positive in Africa, take your result to France, and with this result you're negative. Why? Because the standards are different. Or take your test result from Western blotting from Germany and go to Australia and you are negative. So you see, what this is not science. If one test, if the same test in one country is positive and in the other negative, what would you say about cancer? If you get a diagnosis in one country, it says positive and the other says negative.
This test, the Western blotting and the other one, they're supposedly telling us whether or not somebody has this HIV virus, correct?
It says, it talks about antibodies that are said to be against the virus.
Ah, okay. So it's picking up antibodies.
Antibodies, yes. You see, when we get infected, our immune system builds up antibodies. And that's what they try to find in the first test, the second test. And as they also say, the second test, maybe it's not so good, so we take a third test. It's called the virus load in blood. So everybody thinks now we have the virus because it's called virus load. But what do they test in virus load? They test just molecules like reverse transcriptase, which are said to be from the virus. But as we know now, because we have more research, these molecules also, or mostly, belong to our cells. These are just normal human molecules that we need for our metabolism. So this is not a virus. These are molecules that we generate in a normal metabolism in our cells. And they call it virus load.
So,
because maybe they didn't know before, but now they know since long time.
But they're still giving people this third test for a virus load and to this day?
Yes, they do it. Uh-huh. And they also now they do a fourth test. They do cell count, T-cell count, because, you see, maybe they will find 5, 6, 7, 8 tests. This is all you see, it's not science. Now, let's see. What is this with a T-cell count?
Mm-hmm.
People sometimes have a relation to their T-cell count in health and disease, but not always. So if you are testative positive and you have a T-cell count which is low, the doctor will say you have AIDS. If you did not take a HIV test, a HIV test, and you have a low T-cell count, they may say you have severe combined immunodeficiency, or they may say you have just a low immune, weak immune system. Mm-hmm. So we have to abolish the HIV tests, the HIV tests, because this is just not scientifically proved. And it makes people very anxious. They react like in sometimes before they just did suicide. This is what we call the nocebo effect, the self-fulfilling proficiency.
Mm-hmm. Much like if we believe a particular nutrient or vitamin or herb will work, I think it's been proven scientifically that it's maybe 80% more effective if we believe it works. So it could work the other way too if you believe
placebo.
If you believe you're sick or if you believe you got a virus, then you got one.
Yes, you see, if we believe in a deadly disease, there are so many people that then get crazy. Really they get sick by the diagnosis. Same with cancer.
Sure.
You see, a bad diagnosis makes you sick.
And
if you are not very strong and know that everything is wrong.
Yes, yeah. So in the virus load and the T cell, in the virus load, let's stay there for a second. You're saying your research conclusively shows that this virus load are simply molecules in the cell that's normal.
Yes, it's not only my research. I can tell you later what is special, my research. But a lot of the dissidents and also the scientific community, they know that it is our own molecules.
They know.
Yes, they know it, but they don't give it to the press. Or the press is forced not to tell.
Sure.
The media.
Sure.
Some media or whatever, I don't know. But maybe the doctors don't know because they don't have time for doing research. Not all doctors might know it, but some doctors know. So in Berlin, 1 in 5 doctors, that was a research of a person who did it, knew about the fraud, yeah.
Is there a virus that somebody can catch through the air or through bodily fluids or through a needle that is a virus that is outside of their body? Is this paradigm even reasonable?
You talk about, are there viruses or not?
Well, just say, is there an HIV virus?
No, HIV virus they cannot catch.
It doesn't exist.
I should really talk about what you want to know about a virus or not.
Okay.
Yes, you see, a long time, many people and dissidents or scientists, they look about the Human Genome Project.
Yes.
And there are two groups that do not really like one another. The ones that say nurture, the others that say nature. And with the Human Genome Project, which was finished in, I think, about 2001, and with the paper from 2003, which was published in Nature, that is what I looked at. And what I found out was that the so-called HIF genes are genes from our immune system. It is called human leukocyte antigen system. And these genes are mostly on chromosome 6 located, and they protect us. They are no virus genes. But you see,
this is
published. You can read it, but who can read it? It's not easy for one who is not in the in this subject, you see. And the journals, for the public, they don't write it.
So they're actually, mainstream medicine is calling this gene part of the problem. And then
many genes. It's 200 and 300, 400 genes that you see, they act as open reading frames. Because what I have to tell you about the Human Genome Project is they expected, because they know about 100,000 human proteins, they expected 100,000 genes.
Okay.
But they only found 25,000 genes. So, what is it? The dogma which said one gene produces one protein is not any longer, we cannot have it any longer because we have open reading frames. That means we have a total different view on what is a gene. A gene is not an entity that produces one protein, but we have open reading frames, and these depend on the environment. So you see, now we come together with genes and with environment, because the regulation of what genes and how they are expressed, so the quality and the quantity, depends on the environment. And environment means what you eat, what you think, what you do, mm-hmm. what you drink, what is what herbs you take, what vitamins, mm-hmm. What are your social conditions, if what is the nocebo you have, and so on and so on. So
yes.
This is a big thing. So I linked in my two papers, I linked the knowledge of the what they call dissidents, and there are also a lot of people who are professors, but also people who are just activists and who have a lot to say because they use their own brain. And I link this with the scientific community outcome and even with the genetics. So you see, the program brought insight to knowledge that we really depend on gene expression from our environmental stimuli.
As for longevity, for health, it's what we eat and drink and smell and breathe and all the environment
yes.
to that expresses these 25,000 genes, which and they could go any way that the soul takes them.
Any
way that the person takes them, depending on their environment.
Yes.
They could be expressed.
Yes, you see, we are all unique. So it's good if they look at the genes because, you see, there are so many medications that do not have really help in some symptoms. In other people, they help.
Yes.
So this is about 25%. There is a research result. About 25% is okay, and 75% there are side effects. Why is it like this? Not because doctors are bad. It is just because we are different by our genes. But now, we are different by how we react. So we are different how we react to environment, what we like to eat, what we prefer to think, how we behave. And this is all working together. So it's nature and nurture.
I see. Stay right there. Crystal Myers, she's a biologist and, really fascinating. And more about AIDS this next hour coming up, too, with David Crow. If you care to join us, question about this, we'll try to keep it as simple as we can. And she's doing a great job. 888-663-6386. Email patrick@oneradionetwork.com. We love this for the immune system. And it's in breast milk. But this is from cows. Daniel Vitalis, let's play a game. On a desert island, you can only pick one food. Just one. Just only one.
If I had to live off of one food, I think it would be, if I had any choice, it would probably be colostrum. It's the most complete food that I know of. And the thing about colostrum is it's the first food for any mammal. So it's kind of a no-brainer that colostrum contains all essential fats, it contains all essential amino acids, it contains all essential glyconutrients, which are carbohydrates. It basically contains every substance that we need to maintain our bodies. The first milking you get from a cow after the cow calves is called colostrum. Every milking thereafter is called transitional milk. And what it is it's part colostrum and part milk. So that's something that can happen in the industry because people will sell you the transitional milk and call it colostrum. We're very careful not to do that. We only use the first milking of the animals.
Pure colostrum from SirThrival. They take the moisture out. That's it. To order, click on the picture of colostrum front page, oneradionetwork.com. Do not forget, if you're looking for a water filter, we have come across a great company, friendsofwater.com, that we work with now, and they do some really nice work with a great variety of unique carbon filters, KDF filters. They're not reverse osmosis. So you do not waste a lot of water. You don't have the issues Holder Clark talked about with the fungus and the filters that get contaminated very easily with, and have to back flush and all that. And reverse osmosis also takes all the minerals out. This is cool. Use the promo code ONERADIO if you order on friendsofwater.com. But you're welcome to call Tim and his wife. Talk to him about your specific needs at the sink and the bathtub, whole house. And he'll walk you through it. You can figure out if you have chlorine, chloramine, or both. Usually people have both now in their city water. That takes a certain kind of filter. So you're going to get it done right. These are filters that are not very expensive, but they work. And then you can move them when you move a home or apartment, even the whole house. You can pick it up and move it if that's the way you go. Check it out, front page, and mention One Radio is a promo code, and you'll get a little discount. Daniel Vitalis, we know that excess estrogen with outgassing of plastics and plants like soy are surely a big challenge.
And that's why we brought it on. We wanted to bring on something that was rich in not just testosterone, but things like androstenedione and DHEA. And those are all male hormones. We're in a world now that's so loaded with synthetic estrogens. We wanted to bring a product that could really help people deal with that. And that's because of interactions with phthalates, PCBs, and interactions with BPA and all of these synthetic estrogens. So I first found pine pollen basically in my quest to figure out how can I avoid in my own body some of the negative effects of estrogen pollution. So what we do is we bring pine pollen as a powder. We have it in a capsule, again, so it's real accessible to people. And for people who have low testosterone issues or really want to boost their testosterone in a sustainable way, you know, we make it into a tincture as well, and that's the strongest way to get the testosterone into your body.
That's right. Increasing testosterone truly in a natural way. Click and order Sir Thrival Pine Pollen, front page on OneRadioNetwork.com.
Nothing is more expensive than bad information. Know the source. OneRadioNetwork.com. Talk to Patrick now. 888-663-6386 or email patrick@oneradionetwork.com.
With biologist Crystal Meyer in Vienna, I would give you her website, but it's all in German. Oh.
No, it's not all in
okay,
German.
Okay, so it is not. Okay. CHRISTL-Meyer-Science.net. So you do have some things not in German. I'm sorry. Crystal-Meyer-Science.net. So I'm sure people are wondering, listening, saying, well, this is interesting, and she sounds like she, and all these people, but why do so many people die of AIDS?
Yes. So this is really a question that has to be answered. Yeah. First of all, we have to say there is no disease called AIDS. It's just old diseases with a new name. So if we abolish the HIV test, HIV test, we will not have AIDS, but we will have people who are sick, that's true. And they are not sick because of a virus, they may be sick because of different things. It could be the environment, like chemicals, like pollution of the air. It could be drugs, it could be only allergic reactions to partner's proteins, and this is not really a disease, it's only an allergy. It could be an autoimmune disease, which we can treat, the doctors can treat. And it could be just tuberculosis, which normally is positive in the HIV test, but if you treat the tuberculosis with the antiretrovirals, they don't have the same healing number as if they treat it with the medications that are against the tuberculosis. So it is not a virus and it is not AIDS. It's just old diseases that we have to diagnose correctly.
Immune system issues.
And it's hunger and it's, a lot of things.
And then why so much in Africa? I've read where possibly...
Yes.
Malaria, then that triggers the immune system, or poor water, those kinds of things.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes. In Africa, people died also before the AIDS era because of the social conditions, because of the lack of pure drinking water, because of the lack of vitamins and the conditions. But also now they do the tests in Africa, and these tests are just getting about 30% of South Africans should be HIV positive. So what is it? If you look at the result of the Human Genome Project, you see that, and of other research results, that not all people have the same immune system. This is depending on where you live, your immune system, over many, many generations. Mm-hmm. Because in warm countries, you have more microbes, so we don't have all the same system. And the tests just get out more people with a system that is helpful in South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And as we share a lot of genes, also people all over the world can test positive, but not the same percentage. So some of the people, or a lot of people in South Africa, just test positive because of the test, but not because they are ill. And I can prove this because the population of Africa has not diminished. It has doubled since the AIDS era. So this is not a pandemic.
So if someone tests positive in Africa or somewhere else and they start them on AIDS drugs, then what happens? What are these drugs, AZT and all that, what are they trying to do? Kill some kind of virus?
I think, you see, I have to tell you, the AZT was already used before the AIDS era against cancer, and then it was retracted because it was too poisonous. After some years, they took it back for treating people with AIDS, which were the homosexual drug users in the U.S., and they had no effort with this because people died. They said they died of AIDS, but they died of the medication. Now they have better medication, inverted commas, better, so people do not die so much, and they say now it's because of the medication. Yes, you see, the medication is less poisonous. You have to do just these things. You have to diagnose correctly, so no HIV tests. Diagnose all the diseases correctly and treat them correctly.
This is an ancient kind of retrovirus that we all have, these antibodies?
I can tell you how we can see it.
Okay.
Most people think evolution is something that has happened when the dinosaurs lived. But evolution is an ongoing process. Evolution is today. So our genes are always, let's say, a little bit in the evolutionary process.
Mm-hmm.
And what was a virus maybe millions of years ago is now a gene. And you can call it a virus, you can call it a retrovirus, you can say we just have what we call sometimes horizontal gene transfer. That means we take nucleic acids, even sometimes, not very often, but also from other species. We take it sometimes from our nutrition, not very often, but this all happens. And that's why it is really that we have not to deny that we get strange DNA and RNA not only from our parents, but also what we call horizontal gene transfer. And this so-called HIV, this HIV virus, is not from the 60s or 80s or 50s or maybe 1,000 years ago. It is just ancient, so it's now a gene. And as it was published in the Human Genome Project as a gene in the HLA system, it is a gene. But this is evolution, and most people are not really know much about this process, or they deny it, or I don't know what.
Hmm. So being a gene, it's not really detrimental to the body.
It's not what?
Detrimental to the body.
No, absolutely not. Our genes work together in a symbiotic network. And sometimes when the conditions are not good, or maybe we just have genes also that do not fit in a good communication, we might have diseases. Yes,
mm-hmm,
that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But normally they should work together.
But that could be lack of good nutrition or assaults with mercury or anything. A lot of different things can disrupt the gene expression. Huh?
Yes, you are right. What we eat, what we think, our mood, and the pollutants, all these modify our gene expression.
Well, I'm curious is how this whole paradigm with the gay community, how did that all happen? I can remember I was in New Orleans in the late 70s, and people were just beginning to talk about this thing called AIDS.
Yes, it started with the gay community, and the problem at that time was that a lot of these young men took poppers, which is amyl nitrate. So it is a chemical.
Amyl nitrate, yes.
That is a little bit, let's say, a triggering reactions of the body.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not good because it creates what we call oxidative stress. Oxidative stress, I think everybody has heard about this,
mm-hmm.
is in cell destruction.
Mm-hmm.
So it was another cause. And oxidative stress leads to different diseases. It might lead to cancer. It might lead to other diseases. So this is number one. Number two is just some people react to partner sperms because these are glycoproteins. And if you have a lot of partners, you might have allergy. And the allergic reactions will lead to antibodies that will make a test positive. Even if you are not sick, you get the positive test result. At that time, you really were very afraid, and the nocebo effect together with medications, people died.
Mm. So you're saying the gay community experienced this because of the immune system deficiencies because of drugs like amyl nitrate?
Some of them. But if they didn't take drugs but only the test, they might have just died from the nocebo effect, or they just had an allergy. Yes, they might have had another disease which they didn't treat because it was not diagnosed.
Dr. Leonard Horowitz has tied it into somehow the hepatitis vaccine that many gays received as well.
Mm.
Do you have any theories on that?
Depends. Is it hepatitis B or C?
No, I'm not sure.
No, C they don't have. So hepatitis B. You see, this is a big thing, the vaccines.
Yeah.
Vaccines, the idea is good because they think you can do something, stimulate the immune system.
Right.
But normally we get our microbes or whatever not directly into the blood. We get it just from outside. So giving a shot into the blood, I don't think this is so good because the vaccine also contains different substances that have to be added, and also it's not totally clean. And I think it's not the right way to just to help people against diseases because this is just into the blood. And this is not the normal way.
Mm. And all the adjuvants and mercury and such, it could be a challenge for the immune system, as we know. Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Here's an email from Olivier in Finland. I have a question for Crystal Meyer. If the AIDS virus has never been isolated, where do all the pictures and representations that we see in the media come from? I remember in the early 90s, a very common representation of HIV was a scary-looking ball with spikes. Was this representation based on science or purely public relations?
Some photographs are from the cell cultures that were stimulated with chemicals and not from patients. Other came from pregnant women, and I have to discuss this term extra because in pregnancy, will only have a success if the genes that are retroviral origin, but now are our own genes, make a what we call a syncytium, which is producing particles to make the placenta. And these also look like viruses. But there's no photo from a patient, isolated virus from a HIV-AIDS patient. It's only cell cultures and the blood from where the mother and the child are connected to, from the navel.
Yes, yes, the umbilical cord.
Yes, umbilical cord, thank mm-hmm. you. It's only from the umbilical cord blood, and this is not a virus. And it's not HIV because you can get it from pregnant women.
So, in general...
And the other pictures with the spikes, this is just computer generated.
Oh, I see, yeah. In general, can we catch different viruses from each other? I mean, is there really such a thing?
I think we can catch, particles from
particles,
each other.
Right.
Because when we have a cold, when we have a flu, and there are particles, you can call them whatever you want, yes? You can. We have to define it. And some we cannot catch because they are really engulfed in cells of the body and of an organism, and we have to eat the whole organism. But others may just come with body fluid. That is possible. But normally we react all different because we have all different body genes, immune system, and activation of genes.
Mm-hmm. And this whole idea of autoimmune, we hear things quite often, Crystal Meyer, about how, say, if there's some kind of infection, then the body is going after the infection, and the body can then attack the organs in the case of maybe thyroid and such. What is your understanding of this concept of autoimmune disease? Does it exist?
Yes, it exists. Autoimmune diseases were known long before AIDS. They were called immunodeficiency syndrome without the A. And this exists because sometimes there's deregulation of gene expression in our body, sometimes in very young children. And this is because at the beginning we have an immune system that is not adapted, and the adaption begins after a while. So there can be errors. And also during life it is possible that we attack our own body cells. And the other thing is that we can get cancer. This is that we don't attack the cells that should be mm-hmm. attacked and mm-hmm. degraded. It's just a disbalance. So the balance of life and the balance of our living, that's what we have to find out. And it's not for everybody the same. It's depending on genes. It's depending on the environment. And also the environment sometimes can be change our gene expression and also can be inherited. So we have what we call now also interesting research on epigenetics.
Yes, how we're changing our genes as we go.
Not every day and not everywhere, but we change a little bit more than we thought before.
Mm-hmm.
We have like transposons in our immune system that jump from one place to the other, and they can do harm or they can bring benefit. That is different. That can all happen, and it's normal. It's not a disease. That's just how we behave. All living creatures, more or less, behave like this. And you have to find the right balance for your body and discuss this with people who have more knowledge and who have the ethics to do it, and find out what is the right way for you.
Do you think there's ever is a strong word, but in general, an instance where we want to go in and try to eradicate a particular molecules like bugs or viruses with strong measures? Is that ever
you see,
something you want to really think about? I'm kind of confused here.
Tell you, it would.
You know where I'm going with that?
Yes. What? Mm. Yes, I know what you mean.
Okay.
So it is, for me, it would not be the right thing.
Mm.
But I talked to someone same in cancer who was convinced that the strong chemotherapy helped him, and he says now he has survived because it was his belief and he had maybe a strong immune system
mm-hmm.
that could cope with the chemical. But this is hard stuff. And I think normally we should look how to find the real balance. And the real balance is normally not one chemical. It's a lot of conditions in we live in. It's the whole conditions that make our health and disease. Normally it's not one thing. But I would say you could do research on one or the other gene. But then we have all sit together, dissidents or not dissidents, whoever it is, we have to talk freely, we have to have open access to publish, we have to have a free press, and all this because the combination of the one group and the other together is more than working both separately. And for me, you see, I'm a holistic person that does research on genetics, so people think I'm crazy, but I'm not. Because I know that it's helpful to know a lot about you yourself, your body. And for me, I'm totally holistic. I know that it is not one thing that helping me to benefit.
I suppose the big challenge, even with the whole so-called holistic people, is that it is a very complicated and unique thing with the nutrients and environment and what we think and what we believe in this whole massive picture that has to be addressed. Otherwise, we're never going to really get true health. Huh? And most people don't want to do that. They even the natural folks, they're looking for a silver bullet.
Most people don't want to decide for themselves what is good because they don't know it. So the whole life you have to ask yourself, who am I? And when you know the answer, it's easy.
Well, it's easy for you, Doc.
It's not so easy, but I want to spread hope.
Sure. John wants to know, would you go back a moment to the Genome Project?
Yes.
And he wants to know the significance, good question, of having 100,000 proteins and only 25,000 genes.
Yes.
Why that is so stunning to you? I didn't ask
not
that.
Not to me, but to the scientific community, because there was a dogma that one gene makes one protein via RNA. And now the dogma is fallen down.
So what does that mean to us with bodies?
To our bodies, it means the body is constructed by proteins,
mm-hmm.
more or less, yes?
Mm-hmm.
And so they thought if they know all genes, they know all contents of body and all diseases. They hope to have for each disease one gene.
Oh.
And that is not what they found.
No.
It's totally complicated.
Mm-hmm. So they were hoping to say there's a... this gene.
They want to find this gene and this disease.
So then they could then they could do a vaccine for it or something.
Yes, maybe. Or do gene therapy. They even look for this, you see.
To change the gene.
Yes. Yes, you know, they do it already.
But that's going about it in a strange way, isn't it?
You see, some people are materialistic and others are holistic and some are in between.
Yeah.
That's what people are, what they believe. Sometimes they create their own believings.
And I've been thinking about this whole idea, you know, in the 80s and the 90s, and even now, I guess, for people who don't know, if they get HIV positive, and especially, I guess, if they're in the gay community, and they believe this whole paradigm that you and other scientists are saying is not true, the fear and the uncertainty and the angst alone could cause you to get sick.
Yes.
Without any test. I mean, with anything, wouldn't it?
I talked already about the what I call the nocebo effect. In the 80s, there were a lot of people who just made suicide because they were so frightened by the diagnosis. What we have to do is really to abolish HIV tests. We have to do this. And you should not promote and say, now we have a home test in the U.S., you have it, and I think we also have it.
Yes, boy, they're promoting
so
it.
So why do this? Mm. It's only spreading of fear. It does not help anything.
Mm-hmm.
We should really abolish it because it's not science.
Not science.
And it's not helpful.
And as you know, this is going more and more with cancer. They want to have more and more little tests to see any kind of cells not acting, quote unquote, normal. And it's causing problems for people because they're getting scared and they want to cut it and all this stuff.
Problem is that we are scared so much and more from year to year. And I think specifically in the U.S. you have so many horror films and all these spreading of fear and disease and terror. And it's better to relax, to try to live a good life, to not spread fear, to be nice to people, yes, to do research, but also to publish openly what you found out. Mm. And what I found out, I sent my papers, my two, to more than 60 journals, and that one did not even publish. They did not answer.
Wow.
But I sent it to four peer-reviewed journals, and they answered, but they didn't take it. So they are better. And what I want to say, because people are attacking me, that My research is not peer-reviewed. I can tell you what it is. They never discuss with me what I wrote. They only look if I am famous or not. Second, most did not read it. Third, most did not understand it. Fourth, I cite in my second and also my first paper, I cite more or less only peer-reviewed institutions like Harvard University, like AIDS Diamond Research Center, and so on. So if they criticize me, they criticize their own scientific community, and they do not even discuss the topic because they know it's right.
Hmm.
And I do not find partners for discussion because from the scientific community because they know it's right. And I also got the answers from them, but they never would say it officially.
Hmm. So we'll talk more about this next hour with David Crowe, but tell us about the community, the media, and the pros and cons for the AIDS paradigm in Europe. What's going on there today? You said attacked. You have been attacked?
You see, I'm always attacked sometimes when you look at the Google, you find what I have done, but you also find bad postings about me, and some are not have nothing to do with what I have done and about my research. They are just attacking me personally.
Mm-hmm.
And the second thing is I do not get answers from any media. And the third is they try to frighten me too, that I have consequences, that I might have consequences. And you see, I have no, at the moment, I have no income. And when I say sometimes critical things, they really try to frighten me too. And I have to be afraid of me and I don't know whom, my family or whatever. This is not a free society. And I'm talking about freedom of speech. And I don't want to be have bad consequences just for promoting scientific researched results.
When you say they, who are they? That
they never say who they are. Hmm. They just make it. You see the symbolic act, like the mafia did, even more in symbols.
Yeah. So the AIDS, it's a big. Involved with a lot of money. It's several hundred billion a year, is it?
Yes, it's billion and billions. And you see, if you can treat someone with a medication, it takes about $1,000 a month. So this is a multi-billion dollar industry. And I don't say that it's not good to have medications and to do research and to have profit and income, but it's the balance, and the balance is now really lost. This is what we have lost, really, the balance of what is ethically and what we have to go against for. The ethics is gone.
And the medical universities in Europe are teaching the common conventional wisdom about AIDS today, I guess.
What do you think about conventional wisdom about AIDS?
In other words, there's a virus and you can catch it, what we're being told in the media.
Yes, the media tell this, but I think a lot of people don't believe it.
Right. What about the medical universities in Europe? What do they teach the doctor, the students?
The medical universities teach what the scientific community wants them, and the scientific community gets the money from private, so from industry.
The drug companies.
Yes, so the medical universities have to teach what is what the drug companies want. Mm. Otherwise, it's not possible to do research and get funds and so on.
Much like it is here in this
but
country.
But I taught when I was, I had to teach microbiology. So I taught first the official version, and then I taught the scientific version, which I did in my research.
And what did you discover in the few minutes we have left when you were down in Central America? I mean, what kind of things did you walk away with after 3 years down there regarding AIDS?
Yes, I found out that they do only normally ELISA tests in Belize. That's why they have so high HIV positive results.
Because they just
percentage is too high. Because there are many pregnant women, and pregnancy is more or less sometimes positive in ELISA without having any.
And what's the name of that test you're saying? The ELISA?
ELISA test.
ELISA.
ELISA.
I see, and that's what they use.
And this is the normal test.
I see.
You do first test.
And then if you're pregnant, you're more likely to be positive.
Yes, more likely.
That.
And as there are many young pregnant women, which is also a problem there, because sometimes they are poor and they don't can feed them and they don't have work. And so this is a problem, but you cannot solve it with just telling them that they have a disease.
Right. And then I guess in some cases, they just tell them they have a disease and then there's no drugs. But then what you've been saying, they're probably better off if they wouldn't take any drugs anyway, if they can't afford them.
Sometimes they just give the drugs in these countries cheaper. So they take the drugs. Not all take it, but they give it cheaper in those countries, specifically in Africa, and I don't know how it is in Belize. They promote the drugs, yes.
Mm-hmm.
They promote the drug. Sometimes they get it free, I think.
Mm-hmm. But in your opinion and your research and others' research, being HIV positive on any test doesn't mean anything, correct? Doesn't mean anything.
You should not.
Don't even take
the test. You could be ill, you could be not ill, you could be healthy, you could be pregnant, you could be whatever. So you see.
Why would you take the test then?
No, we should not take the test. We have people who test HIV positive and who also have high, what they call viremia, so these molecules in blood.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't get AIDS without taking medicals. So what is it?
Yeah, they don't.
That's not science to take the test.
Mm. Is there places where they want to, whoever they are, want to force one to take HIV tests before getting married? Is that? Does that go on?
I think some people are forced to take a test. And what is even most frightening is that they sometimes force the pregnant women to take the medication.
Wow.
And they force the baby to take medication. And if they force the woman to have cesarean section, they force the woman to not breastfeed, which is good. And if they don't agree with the medical doctors, they take the babies, and that is a case in Austria with Barbara Sebald, which you can also find in the internet, www.sebald.at.
They took the baby because she wouldn't give them the medication.
Yes. and now they feed it with medication, and the baby has already health problems with the bone, with the bones.
My goodness.
Since 2 years.
My goodness.
That's what they do, and in U.S. it's the same.
Yes. Well, is there talk now, there's certainly beginning talk in this country about this new HIV vaccine that's going to be just coming out. I forget the name of it. Do you know the name of it?
Oh, there are so many vaccines.
Oh,
they already had studies, enough studies about the vaccine, and this is also not always ethically proved. You see, if you try to find a vaccine, it is vaccination against the bodily own structures. And that is not from me. That is what even scientists have said.
Mm-hmm.
But they are not heard, and it's not print in the media.
Well, Crystal Meyer, I appreciate your courage and your passion for your work and what you're doing. And let us know if you come up with some new things. You have my email. I'd love to hear from you.
Yes, thank you.
All the best to you. And you can look at Crystal's website. It is CRISTL-Meyer-Science.net.
May I add one sentence?
Yes, ma'am. Anything
I
you
have
want.
A saying from the British-Austrian physicist and philosopher Popper, who said, "Let theories die instead of humans."
Let theories die
instead of humans. And please give my regards to David.
Okay, I sure will. We're going to talk to him
Thank
next.
Thank you.
All right, Crystal, thanks. Bye.
Thanks, bye.
Well, man, I tell you. Okay, more about AIDS and with David Crow coming up. Here's health motivator Daniel Vitalis and the benefits of using a far infrared sauna.
Sweating is absolutely going to be one of the most critical things discerning people take on so that they can not only stay healthy, but actually so we can continue to have children that are healthy. We're going to need to sweat. People have sweat all through history. Before the world was toxic, they used that for their health. Now that it's toxic, it's one of the only ways we're going to cleanse our body fat. Our body fat is where we store so much of the environmental pollution. Not just the radioactive elements, we're talking about PCBs, we're talking about plastics, we're talking about a host of pesticides and herbicides, we're talking about heavy metals. Getting this stuff out of our bodies, we're going to need to sweat it out.
And a fast, easy, and affordable way to sweat is with a portable, relax, far infrared sauna. See all the information. Order with promo code ONERADIO on oneradionetwork.com, a relaxed, portable, far infrared sauna on oneradionetwork.com. And we got a couple weeks to go, our summer sale. We're going to go back to the regular price of $935 on September 1. We've had it on this a while during the summer because fewer people buy these just because we think, I don't need to sweat. And actually, it's important. We understand after you heard, these assaults on our body, the mercury and all the different stuff, they do have a profound effect on our gene expression and our immune system. And it's just the way it is. And that's just our karma dharma of 2012. And one of the best ways to do it, far infrared sauna. This is portable. You'll like this baby. It's going to last you a long, long time. I can't say lifetime. It certainly doesn't have a lifetime warranty. But you can tell the way it's built. It's going to, I hear Phil said that they've had one running for years, just constantly, where they're manufactured. And, generally, we sell them for $935 through the rest of August, $890. Use the promo code ONERADIO. Click and order front page, oneradionetwork.com.
We hope you're enjoying the program on One Radio Network, sponsored by USGoldCoins.com. At USGoldCoins.com, we provide the best in gold and silver coins, and we've been doing so for over 30 years. Perhaps you're a first-time investor to gold and silver. Perhaps you've been considering adding physical wealth to your portfolio. If you've had any hesitancies at all about looking into this market, now would be a great time to give us a call. 1-800-878-2646 or log on at usgoldcoins.com. We'd be happy to help educate you and provide you with the best in gold and silver coins. Call us today at 1-800-878-2646 Whether you're a seasoned investor or a first-time person to the entire market of gold and silver, we want to be your resource. And you can reach us toll-free, 1-800-878-2646.
We're with Al Carter. He's one of the top authorities on rebound exercise. Now, you talk about G-force and really leveraging being one of the most effective forms of exercise. Can you explain why that is?
Yes. With rebound exercise, we're using two other forces that are natural, the force of acceleration and the force of deceleration in a vertical mode. They come together with gravity at the bottom of the bounce, which means that you're developing a greater G-force effect at the bottom of the bounce, and the cells of the body have to become stronger, and they really don't have a choice.
So then you're using this idea of going up in the air and coming back down as actually increasing the force on your body.
It increases the force on the body, on every cell in the body, regardless of where it is, which means that you're not only exercising the muscles, you're exercising the bones, the involuntary muscles, the muscles of digestion and elimination, and even the cells of the eyes.
The Rebound Air Rebounder. We think the best with a lifetime warranty. Click and order, front page, or in our store, OneRadioNetwork.com.